Well, this morning has probably been as close as I've felt in God's house for a while because of that presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's a good feeling, isn't it? It's a good feeling when God comes in and fills your heart with love and encouragement. My youngest daughter, she'll probably be listening to this later today, but she listened to last week and she said, "I'm going to critique you, Dad. You're always doing that to me. I'm going to do it to you. Quit telling people how bad you are." I said, "Well, I couldn't help it. That's what Paul said. He was the least of the apostles. You know, I'm just trying to follow his example." But you know, I want to share some thoughts out of chapter 12 of Romans, but because of the tone of the service this morning so far, you know, I kind of feel like going in another direction. Years ago, before Jesus ever came into my mind, even, I lived a life not so nice and was in a lot of different things that weren't so nice. And it wasn't until we had moved from the river farm and east of Finley to a place in Lovington, outside of Lovington, across the road from a Christian family. And being farm background, mechanic on farm machinery for years, I got to know the farmer across the road and helped him from time to time. And on occasion, we would sit on the tailgate of his truck and he would start saying things to me about his past and how God had came into his life and how he changed him. And he did that for a while. And one Saturday night, Carolyn and the kids had gone over to her mother's and I was home by myself, and they came across the road up the driveway and knocked on the door, and I invited them in, and they said, "We've got revival going on, and would you like to come Well, when we lived in Pena before Carolyn and I were married, they were a group of Free Methodists in that town, and they were different. You know, the kind of different that you made fun of if you weren't a Christian. They didn't go to movies, they didn't go to dances, they dressed funny, they had their hair up funny, they were different. And these people were Free Methodists, and I thought, you know, I'd like to go see what they do in their churches, you know? I heard they run around the aisle and they do funny things. And there's that gnat again. So I went to church with them that night, and expecting to see all this stuff going on, people on the floor and stuff like that. I was the only one, I think, that was moved on by the Holy Spirit, and I felt God, I actually felt God take a hold of this arm and start to move me out of my pew, and the friends that I were with, I reached over to try to get a hold of them to stop, and they knew what was going on, and the next thing I know, I was the one up here. And I listened to the minister and the evangelist. I listened to them as they shared with me what was going on, that I needed to repent. I needed to confess my sins. I needed to ask Jesus to come into my heart and into my life. And I did those things that night. But I didn't really know what I was doing. And so I went home that night, and the next morning got up and we were having breakfast, and I said to Carol, I said, we're going to start praying for our meals. And Carol has always been a church-going girl. She's always been a good girl, a good wife. And she looked at me kind of funny. What do you mean? And I said, well, we're just going to start praying. And I didn't know enough to tell her what really had happened to me that Saturday night. And I wasn't sure what had happened to me that Saturday night. So I got up from the table and I grabbed my pack of Camels and stuck them in my pocket. And I went outdoors and got my hunting dog, and we headed off down into the pasture. And I got down just about to the creek, or creek, however, wherever you're from, however you say it. It's creek to me. And all of a sudden, I don't tell this often because it's kind of hard to believe, but all of a sudden, I was inside this huge bubble, I guess, like a Christmas bulb, only huge. And I was in that thing, and it was bright. And I heard this voice say to me, you know, either follow me with all your heart or not at all. And the next thing I knew, I was standing at the fence, ready to climb over the gate to go back into the house. Don't remember the trip there, but I was there and went in and told Carol and Ann that I was going to start going to church. And started going. Well, it wasn't long after that, and I don't even remember the span between that time, that God met me down in that pasture and became very real to me, that I began to be awakened in the night. This is in July, and I kept hearing this voice saying to me, I want you to preach for me. And I kept putting that off. How could someone like me be a preacher? I mean, of course, you didn't know me when I was growing up, so you wouldn't know, but I wasn't always nice like I am now. But I kept struggling with that as God kept calling me. And I'm going to say this not to embarrass Carolyn, but even though she was a really nice girl and went to church, she'd never been saved. And my argument with God was, God, I'm not educated. When I went to school, I didn't go to school to learn. I just went to school to see girls. And I said, I'm uneducated, I'm ignorant, and my wife isn't saved. And I said, you know, you can't be a preacher and have an unsaved wife. That was just the way we were taught. And it really didn't take very long after that, after two or three times getting up in the middle of the night and arguing with God, that our church had revival. Again, Brother Wright from Indiana was a minister. And you'd never guess what happened in that revival. God saved Carolyn. And there went half of my excuse for not being a preacher. And so I finally yielded to God and said, all right, God, I will. I'll do it. I didn't have any Bible training, Bible learning. I attended church there in Bethany for about 4 years and finally accepted the call to preach and become a minister, and we were sent to a little church up north in Canton, Illinois. I didn't know how to hold church business. You know, I didn't know any of that kind of stuff. All I I just thought preachers, all they did was preach, you know. That's all I went to do, you know, was preach. And we were up there, and all of a sudden these really phenomenal things begin to happen. I think I told you last week about this couple that came into the church, ran down to the altar and accepted Jesus. I told you about that. Well, that was just one of the many things that happened. We had a family that started attending our church, which was kind of a miraculous thing. When my dad died, I inherited this little Firebird. And it sat out in the driveway there. Canton didn't have a license, couldn't afford to buy a license for it. It sat there, and this man called me on the phone and said, you don't know me, and I don't know you, but he says, I drive by your house every day, and I see that car sitting there with no license on it. He said, would it offend you if I offered to buy the license for that car? And he did. He bought the license for that car. And I told him, well, I really appreciate that, because I'd done all my calling on foot. I walked down the long call on people, and I said, this will really help, because now I'll be able to drive and cover more territory. And so that's what I did. And in our little congregation of about 12 people and two cats, our kids brought our cats with us when we come from Canton. You know, we grew to about 80 people in that 3 years that we were there. And it seemed like just about ever so often God would do something miraculous. And I don't know what I thought about it. I tell you the truth, I don't even know what I thought about all this stuff that was going on until years later, when I sat down and began to think about it and go back and recount all the things that had been happening in my life and in our ministry. And I realized that, you know, according to book learning and all that stuff, I was ignorant, but I was starting to learn stuff on a spiritual level from God. I began to realize that this Holy Spirit that I talk about a lot became very real to me early in my ministry, and I began to realize that if anything's going to be done in my ministry, it's going to have to be because of the Holy Spirit. Not because of who I was, not because of what I knew, but because I listened to Him. You know, I still every day, every morning, every day we get up, I have my time with the Holy Spirit. We communicate back and forth. I told Carolyn this morning, I said, you know, I don't hardly feel like preaching this morning. And in the back of my mind, I wondered if God was going to do something today here in church. This God that we serve, this God that we talk about, this God that, oh, I love these songs this morning, this God that we sing about, you know, he is so worthy of our praise. Not just on Sunday, but especially on Sunday, we ought to, and I've just been so impressed by you guys and your attitudes and the spirit that you have in your worship, and I pray that this would continue with you, that, you know, no matter what happens in the near future, that you remember that God is the God of the church. Jesus is the cornerstone. And it doesn't make a difference what man's ideas are, and that's it comes from God. You know, and that's what we want. There are a lot of people in church all across the land who've never seen or experienced one of those miracles that you say, I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it, kind of miracle. But I'm telling you that the God I serve, the God I love and praise, has shown me miracle after miracle. I should write a book. I do have records of those things. I probably ought to put it in print for my family and for those that go on back and think of how God had worked and shown me so powerfully who he was. You know? I mean, Carol can remember when I first started coming into the church, still smelled like Campbell's cigarettes. You know? And I think it's almost hard for me to remember those days that I've had so good a life, a better life than I deserve since Jesus became a real part of who I am. You know? I had a guy ask me years ago. In fact, I led him to the Lord. He said, Newman, how did you get the way you are? Well, I got that way because of Jesus. You know, got that way. Where are you guys at with your relationship with God? Is it real? Do you feel his presence this morning? Does that make you want just to kind of lift your hands and praise and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, when God saved me, he did a miracle. A miracle that I'll never stop praising him for. John said, if you confess your sins, God will forgive you and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. And when God started scrubbing, it was like that little dog. All of a sudden, all that black dirt filth that covered my life became white as snow. And only God could do that. Only God could change me that way. And I know some of you could give a testimony and agree with what I'm saying this morning, that only God could have changed you and made you the way you are today. Isn't that worth praise? Isn't that worth lifting up a hand and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me from all my unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. For it's my strength. Is the joy of the Lord your strength today? Huh? Do you feel like shouting?
Amen.
Huh? You feel like shouting something? You know, like hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, go ahead and do it then. Go ahead and give God glory. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Huh? He's our God, and He loves us. Well, listen, you guys got things to do after this service. And if you don't mind, I think that'll be my sermon today, if you don't mind. If you want me to go on and talk about this other stuff, I will. I didn't hear anybody say, go ahead. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in a service where Your Spirit is felt, experienced. It's so good, Lord, to be able to walk out of these doors knowing that we've been in the presence of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You today that You loved us and blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And we give You praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.